Hi, it's Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period, this convention brought together over 61,000 attendees, many of them close friends of the RAB. During the course of the conference, there were keynotes, informative sessions, focused on topics relevant to broadcasting media and entertainment. RAB's immediate past CEO, Erica Farber, and I had the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from the radio industry to talk about their plans for the future. A big thanks to Enco and Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention, including a few live stream interviews. In this fifth episode of our series, we will hear the live conversation Erica had with Young Jock and Amanda Orlando, a great example of two authentic on-air personalities that are connecting with their audiences and loving every second of it. Now, while their individual paths to being on the air were very different, their love of radio and the personal relationships that they've built within their local communities is a huge part of their success.
Well, here we are at Radio on Main Street at the NAB West Hall. I have two amazing talents, our own social influencers. So Amanda, why don't you share a little bit about who you are and where you work?
So my name's Amanda Orlando. I work at Warm 98.5 in Cincinnati, a Cumulus station. I host the morning show, the Warm 98 morning show with Amanda Orlando. You can find me on Instagram at Sunny Radio Girl. And I've been there for about 5 to 6 years, 2 years doing my own show.
Fantastic. And the best dressed man on the exhibit floor, I don't know, I want your jeweler.
Definitely. I definitely plug you. Definitely plug you.
All right, Young Jock, tell us about you.
Well, this kid from Atlanta came up in the music industry. Grammy nominated, you know, multi-platinum artist, found my way, segueing into television, reality television. And then from that, I found myself stepping out a little further into radio. And here I am now with Young Jock and the Streets Morning Takeover, a nationally syndicated morning show. Shouts out to Streets 94.5. Shouts out to Super Radio, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And here I am, sitting there with you guys.
So That's so fascinating when you think about your background that, you know, you were the music side and television and now radio. And yet when people say radio, why radio?
Why radio? You know, what's interesting. When I sit back and I look at, you know, other people in situations, it's like, let's say music. You know, everybody doesn't get a chance to be Stevie Wonder. You know, or Prince, you know. So I started thinking about, you know what? What if I'm not that guy that'll be around and sustain that long? Then I started to say, well, you know what? What about TV? TV is like, okay, well, sometimes actors fade away. I say, but when it comes to that voice and that personality, you can do that till you put in the ground. And I just found myself having this this new love. This it just came out of nowhere. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. And I went for it, and it's been working for me. Yeah.
But what a great story, and what a great testimony to the power of audio. That's such a great background. Mandy, how did you get into this business?
I got into this business completely by accident. I was studying communications at UK. I did an internship for the Honors Program, and I did my internship at a radio station, and they didn't have any females at all at the station. They said, you want to be our midnight to 6 a.m. person? We just fired him.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Well.
Yeah. Yes, there were no females. So, and I didn't have any training. I wish I had my air check from that very first show, because they pretty much just put me in the chair and turned on the mic for me because I didn't know where the switch was and said, go. And I didn't even know to say the call letters. Like, I have no idea what I said. But so I could only get better from there. But they taught me it was a very small radio station. Everybody did a little bit of everything, and I just fell in love with the medium.
And you knew it was it.
I knew it was it. And it's two-way. It's unlike television. like you talk and then your listeners can call and talk to you, and it's that two-way interaction that you can very rarely get. You can't get that on streaming. You can't get that on television. Around here, we're seeing it here at the convention, like they're trying to get to where we are.
Yeah.
What about you when you started your show? I mean, you know, you walked into a studio and you didn't start there.
No. Yeah, it just kind of happened. It's so funny because, you know, my testimony is a lot like that. It was just like, hey, although I was more proactive because I said, hey, give me a shot. I was just kidding.
Right.
He called my bluff.
Yeah, what you asked for.
No, definitely. But I think that, you know, when I was just doing the panel, right? And they talked about listening to yourself 6 months prior to today, right? And it's always an ongoing revolution or evolution. I'm sorry, it's an ongoing evolution of oneself to be better, to sound better, to get your title breaks. And it's funny when you talk about your first air check. I am frightened. I hope they don't exist for me because mine were so bad.
Someone has it.
Listen, it was so bad that when they would play it back in the meetings, I would just be embarrassed. I almost just wish I had a turtleneck on. I could just hide because I was the worst. And so I find myself here today, and I'm like looking at all these great people. The camaraderie is surreal. It's just amazing. And just to be amongst all these broadcasters, man, has definitely proven what I was saying to you about, you know, this can be a very, very, very long journey because I'm looking, I just met a man upstairs. He's like 88 years old. You should come do my podcast. I was like, podcast, 80 years old. I love it.
God bless.
That gave me hope, though.
Sure.
You know?
You know, there's so many misperceptions by advertisers, you know, about radio. You know, no one's listening to radio. No young people are listening to radio. Here's two incredibly successful on-air personalities. What do you say to an advertiser who says no one's listening? And you're the closest to purchase time.
Yeah. Being that flagship program, that morning show, I would tell people, listen, I once felt like that. I once was like, man, radio's old. Radio's going to be going away soon, right? Until I found myself feeling like I was out of the loop because just listening to streaming and popping in a CD, there's nothing intentional about navigating in your city, your hometown, knowing what's going on, being in the know. And when you walk into a space and everybody knows what's going on and you don't, and then you get that doing your research as to why y'all know and I don't, and it comes down to, oh, we heard on the radio.
It's in that local connection.
That local connection. Something that simple will make you rearrange your thinking. And you will say, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, radio is that medium that's going to be around for a very long time. And I myself believe that. That's why I've doubled down on it and decided to go full-fledged and pursue a career in radio.
Right.
Yeah. If you're listening to streaming on the way into work, you don't know what's happening in your town. You don't know what's happening in your neighborhood. Like, you are out of touch. And I think the appeal of radio is you're part of the community. You're in the community. You're part of the community. You can call and be super active. And radio, still being the traditional media, validates any other way you advertise. Like, on the internet, you don't know if this is clickbait. You don't know if that's, you don't really know if that's real. But if you've heard the product on the radio too, we give those advertisers legitimacy.
Right.
And I don't think that advertising is a one-prong attempt. Like, you need various mediums. And radio, I think, is vital and will always be vital because we have that personal connection in the community and can incorporate that into how we sell your product.
So embracing that local connection in your communities, endorsement advertising is getting bigger and bigger. Are you all involved with endorsing products?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so it's so interesting because I've come to realize, like, in urban radio, like on my end of things, I hear a lot of attorneys, personal injury attorneys, these commercials. And it's so interesting because I myself found myself in an endorsement situation with attorney Adana Ugwanali, to the point where I've worn her products, her shirts, her paraphernalia on a television show.
All right, well, let me ask about that, because that's an interesting category for a lot of radio stations, and not just urban stations. Did she pick you? Did you pick her? How did you feel comfortable endorsing a very specific law firm?
Okay, so me having the morning show, me being having the marquee name, Young right. Jock and the Streets Morning Takeover, they would definitely seek me out, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have jingles, and I just didn't want it to be so hacky, me giving them a jingle while I promote it on the radio.
But you're a musician, man.
I know, but you see, it's so expected, right? And I like something, again, as I spoke about on the panel a few minutes ago, authenticity. And I just felt like when I heard her spiel to me, and she told me, you know, what it is she does and her approach, and she actually litigates.
Right.
That was the one thing that stood out to me.
It's
because
separated.
Most of those PI attorneys, they want the settlement. Even you, being a victim in whatever accident or whatever, you want the settlement because it's quicker. Nobody wants to go to court. But when she tells you, hey, I can go in and get you $1 million for real, and we're going to go to court and get it, you got to listen to that, because most people are not going to do that. And I think that that authenticity for me made me say, I'll endorse your brand.
Right.
And she's just always been real, and she's always on time with her payments.
That's even better.
That part, you know what I'm saying?
That's even better.
How much are you going to charge for the plug you just gave her right now?
That's right.
I talked about it already with her, so I just need the right place to plug it, plug and play.
So if we get in an accident, we're covered here.
Hey, you better believe it.
Amanda, what about you?
I do a variety of endorsements. I do, whatever kind of coincides with what I would consider my brand to be. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm a homeowner, and I'm a mom, and even my 15-year-old son has an endorsement for Bully Braces, and it's kind of like become a family affair. Like, we're all part of, in some way, they're an extension of me, and so they're part of my show too.
Sure.
So
you get it. I love it.
Yeah, and again, because we are local and in the community, we had like 5 days of rain, and that's super bad for your windows to have all these different weather patterns. And Cincinnati will have every weather pattern in a day. So I can incorporate that into my spot that day. And tomorrow could be something different. Maybe we had like hurricane force winds and I could talk about that. But it just gives you the in the now endorsement for that. Oh, that just happened to me too. And I just think there's nothing better.
You're so fluid. I could listen to her talk all day. She just knows how to let it.
So what advice do you both have for sellers at radio stations who are trying to figure out, how do I have a better relationship with my on-air talent? What can I do to help?
Listen to our shows. That'd be my first advice to our sales department. Listen to our shows and
so is the insinuation that maybe all of our sellers aren't actually listening to our content?
I believe that could be the case at times, that it seems like you take it for granted that, of course, they're listening to every moment of our show. But we have 5 stations, and so maybe they're not listening to our show. But if they want to sell something about my show, listening to our show would...
Good advice.
Yeah.
I mean, great advice. I mean, that is important, because I've had conversations where I'm like, hey, man, how are you going to sell something if you don't even know what you're selling? Because I'm a salesman at heart. I learned at a very young age I was selling air fresheners at the car wash with my father. Okay, so it's a natural thing, and I can't sell something that I don't believe in,
right.
And I can't sell something that I'm not well versed in or on. So it is very important to me when I'm like, this is your job. Make sure you understand every parameter of what we're delivering each and every morning, because it's something in there. Somebody could walk in and hear me say something, and they have a niche looking for that little thing to go sell. But if you can't do it on the regular, you shouldn't be working here. So you should definitely know your product. We're a commodity. We're a talent. We're a voice. We have segments. Go sell it. But you got to listen so you know what you're selling.
I think developing the brand of each personality at each station is really important. And if we could all like take a clear role, and because, you know, for now, I'm the only female on the station. I'm out of a lot of categories because I'm endorsing a lot. But there might be somebody with a clear brand and they should be doing something like over me.
Right.
And I also think, like, for the advertisers, you don't have to have 15 copy points in your commercial. I think
that's a whole other.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, because you just need, like, they just need to know how to get in touch with you. If it's the story that we deliver in your spot.
Can I touch on that for one
Please.
Second? Yeah. Man,
now, what do you really mean?
No, like, when you, you're funny. You're funny. When you're writing out a commercial, stop trying to give, don't tell me all the ingredients. Just give me the main ingredients and let me figure out some of those other ingredients.
Tell me you have bread, but I don't need to know you have yeast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't need to know the process how you bake the bread, but we have bread. You know what I'm saying? Because that is, I hate corny scripts.
Well, it's not real.
Well, you know what? I think people don't take the time to think about who's actually having to endorse it and read it back. They're trying to write it in a professional way or how they would say it. But if you don't talk like me,
right,
then you got to kind of try to script it for me, because I'm the one that has to deliver it, or whoever has to deliver it. And I think that's important, because I read stuff sometimes like, who talks like this?
Yeah.
Like, throw that away. Let me just do it myself. You know what I mean?
And we would feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Way more comfortable.
Yeah, well, that's excellent advice for whatever the format is.
Yeah.
But from the air personality point of view, like, my goal is also to help my sales department do the best they can. So if I have, like, an idea or a concept, I will make them, I'll go that extra step and make them audio of what it is, so it's easier for them to understand and easier for them to sell it.
Wow.
And
so you really do go that extra mile.
I will, especially because I want them to make money, because I want to make money.
Yeah.
We all want to make.
Well, we all win together.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So definitely. I've gone to a couple of the sales sessions here, so I know where the disconnect is between what we do, what they do. And
I love that. So on the floor here, and I don't know how much time you've spent on the floor, but our Radio on Main Street, we're right in the middle at the West Hall at the NAB, and AI is everywhere. And I know it doesn't matter if you're on the creative side, the sales and marketing side, management, we're all focused on what does it mean. But from a talent standpoint, it's got to be top of mind for both of you.
Yeah. Because I'll give you something even more interesting to just kind of go back a little bit to what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, AI, in some ways, is scary because you feel like, yo, it's going to take your job. It's going to be, you're going to be, like, useless.
Pushed aside.
Right?
Yeah, part of me gives a little side eye walking by.
Mm-hmm. But think about that same approach we just talked about, that sales department. I can open my phone right now and tell AI to write me something. And this is what scares me sometimes, because it's you. How can you beat it? You cannot beat it. You cannot beat the machine. Okay, let's go. Classic AI, general AI assistance. All right. I want you to give me your name.
Erica.
Amanda.
I'm going to talk to her. All right. I'm sitting here with the beautiful and lovely Erica and Amanda, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way to get a sales team to create a viable sales pitch for a viable talent. I want you to read this back to me in an urban way, and then I want another way where you read it to me in a very professional way. All right, it's going to send the audio, and in seconds, we're going to have this whole thing talking about Erica and Amanda.
So for those of you who are listening and watching, his screen just populated.
And let's read what it says.
You read it.
Yo, so me and the girls, Eric and Amanda, are brainstorming on how to get our sales team to come up with a dope sales pitch for a talented individual. Professional way. That was the urban way. The professional way says, I am currently in a meeting with Erica and Amanda to discuss strategies for our sales team to develop an effective sales pitch for a highly skilled individual. Like, and then you can say, do it again and again, and it'll give you 1,000 different versions.
And you know you read it totally different.
Exactly.
On top of it.
Exactly. That scares me.
And
but
it makes it easier.
It makes it easier.
Well, but it's a starting point, because I have a feeling you don't read line by line commercial copy.
It depends. If it's well written.
You might put a spin on it yourself.
I will, but a lot of times when a client asks for something in specific,
yeah,
like it has to say this, this has to come after that.
Got it.
Then I try to meet them where they at. Everybody's
understood.
Not willing to take your advice or the way you flow, you know?
Yep.
I think AI that we've seen here, because the some of the AI examples that they're showing in the booth, the AI will get to know you and your tone. The more you interact with it, the more it's going to start to sound like who you are. And I think that gets us 80% of the way there. But we've been hearing over and over and over again on the programming side, and you talked about this in your session that you just did on the panel, people will not be fooled. That genuine, authentic thing that is you and human. Even when I was a waitress, if I faked being in a good mood and faked having a good day, my tips did not
were not as profitable
as when I was in a genuinely good mood. And you cannot replicate human nature on that level. But AI, we can use. I can see all kinds of ways where we can use it to make our job easier and be more efficient so we can be more creative.
Right.
But my fear is not that AI can replace us, but that our bosses will think it's more cost effective to do so.
So from your perspective, you know, it's thinking about AI, but it's about everything else that's available. What should our industry be doing to stay as relevant as possible? You know, because relevance is really important.
No, it definitely is.
Go ahead.
Because I want to make sure I say.
He likes to percolate for a second. I just talk without thinking. So, I think that a lot can be learned from the social media influencers. They are in the moment and more. They're quicker. They don't have 60 seconds of copy to do stuff. They're real and just. You know, they might mention a product and you won't even know it's an ad. And it's so fast and so creative. I think there's ways we can incorporate that so that we are still in tune with the way people live now. The attention spans are so short. And I can't imagine, since it's always changing. Look, I'm holding my mic now. Since it's always changing. We got to keep changing too, but we're still programming everything like it's not happening around us. And I just feel like we need to start moving in that direction.
Great point.
I feel like you're so smart. I loved everything you said, even now to the concept of not being so predictable. Because a lot of times, like for when we talked about me wearing the attorney's
her shirt.
Sure, right? Sometimes I'll just have it on. I don't have to mention it because you read it. And once you read it, that is considered a what? An impression.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. We have to figure out creative ways to continue to get the impressions without it appearing as if we're force-feeding you for the impression. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what's so interesting? Everything has changed, not just in our business, mm-hmm. but everything we touch and do. And yet the clock, the format clock for a radio station is basically the same exact clock since 1960.
Huh. And we don't live that way anymore.
No.
I'm
willing to slay a few sacred cows, but
I think we're on to something here.
Yeah.
And to take with that social media influencer, because that would affect total different pricing model, but maybe we could even charge more for that. You know, it's you guys need to start testing some new thoughts here for us.
I've been looking at some of the different booths around here on the tech floor. There's like ways where you can incorporate a video on a digital platform that's live and interactive, and you can have, I think one of their examples was they had like a boxing match or something, and there are all these people watching together.
Yes.
And there's like game shows that you can play in real time, and there's got to be a way to start incorporating, you know, people playing along with our radio games or having, there's got to be a way where we all start blending and having that dual interaction.
I wouldn't be surprised if that starts to happen, where people will, it's almost like they're working from home for you. Because I'm just looking over here, and this guy is over here. He's He's handling the tech for this space that we're in right now.
Right.
What if he didn't really work for you guys and he was just a guy who works from home, but he listens to the show and we're willing to barter with him some kind of way because he's a loyal listener. He has something that we need and we have something that he needs as well. I can see that coming pretty soon because, you know, when we spoke earlier of streaming, you said it's not really as interactive. It's not sometimes, but there are the options now. We're not just reading words or comments going up the screen anymore. Right. We can press a button and people are chiming in live now. So I'm starting to feel like when we talk of those influencers, speaking of those influencers, I believe we're going to be opening some different doors pretty soon. And they'll be able to chime in and help you make more money. Because like when I stream, right, and the longer I stream, the more money I make. So the more people I talk to, I'm going to garner their followers too when they go live with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I go live with four people, if all four people got 100 people, it's my followers plus their 100 followers each.
Right.
Now you got people who are interested to get in their position and swap out for their followers. So we got to figure out a way to make that happen. And it's coming now. But with radio, with a beautiful face like this and a personality like that, who just...
In a beautiful face like this.
And a personality like that.
I'll take it. I think that it could be the next frontier of radio. I mean...
And if people are working from home, they need community even more than ever. Mm-hmm. They need to be... a lot of folks are working at home and they don't have that office vibe, that coworker thing. And some people, they love working at home initially, but then after a while, they feel disconnected from their town and people in general.
Right.
So hopefully we'll still stay viable.
Well, it sounds like a whole 360 approach versus just that this one dimensional connection, because that's not how your audience is connecting with you now. You know, how many of them are listening to you on a radio? you probably don't even own a radio.
I do, but what is interesting, I get a lot of people that are like, yo, I listen to your show. I'm like, yeah, what you listen? My phone. Oh, you got the app? Yep.
I used to be able to use my relatives for show prep in various situations, and now I can't because they can listen to me on Alexa, and they'll know if I'm talking and... sharing their drama.
Found out. But you know, that's another thing that what you're saying, really successful talent, you're sharing your lives with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're open. And it didn't used to be that much. And now they want a piece of you. They want to know who you are as a person.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting because I do find myself in situations where I'm at the grocery store and here's a woman maybe 60 years old walking up to me saying, I listen to you with my grandkids. And I'm like, really? Right?
Wow.
And she's like, I just love how crazy you get. Because I'm looking, not thinking that she's going to even be there. But you start to realize that you can't.
Well, your audience is diverse.
It is, man. It is. It is. And I've been in situations where people have walked up to me and I'm like, they think I'm somebody else. Totally think I'm somebody else. But they walk up and hit it right on the head. And I'll be like, damn, you never know who or what your audience looks like.
That's true. Yeah, you have that they think that they know what you look like and you think you know what they are like. And it's never what it is.
It's always different. I had a pastor walk up to me. A pastor.
Did he have holy water with him?
Didn't have holy water. But he was definitely a man of the cloth. And what he told me was, he said, young man, I know you probably don't even think I listen because I know you guys play secular music. He said, but because I am a devout Christian and I am one of those people in the community, I have to find myself being a filter for what people are putting out here. So I'm like, oh, okay, you like the radio police. He laughed. He said, no, I am more of a spiritual police. He said, because I want to make sure people aren't putting the wrong, you know, spiritual vibes and whatnot out here in the world.
Looking for positive messages.
Right. And I was like, so why you listen to me? You know what he told me? He said, because whenever I've listened to you, I can always hear you telling the truth. Mm. And I was like, at what point? Wow. What part? What does that mean? And he says, whenever you talk back to your guests, I mean, your callers, you never spin them. You never treat them like they're just a caller.
You don't put them down.
He says, sometimes it sounds like you know these people you're talking to. And that love, that when we talked earlier about that word on the panel, authenticity, that authenticity, when it comes across, I don't care what's going on, you can't stop that. You can't stop it. So, you know, I believe in just being who I am when I'm talking over those airwaves and delivering my truths.
We have an overall campaign that we use at the REB, and I'd like you both to finish this sentence. Amanda, we'll start with you. Radio matters because.
That's a good one. Radio matters because we are where you live. We are your neighbor. We are your family. And sometimes we are the only outlet you have if you need something. Like, we're right there and we can respond in the moment to you. Call me. I'm there.
Radio matters because we are just like your next of kin. We are there in your good times. We're there in your bad times. We can show up when you don't think we're needed, but we can also be there when we are needed. Radio matters because we are always there. No matter what. When you turn the radio off, even though you turn it off, it's still sending out a frequency. And when you turn it back on, it's going to continue to send out that frequency. So it's a forever giving stream of information, entertainment, music, and involvement. And I think that it is, believe it or not, we started it earlier. I know I was supposed to be finishing the sentence, but I got to go back to it. It is the needle and thread to a lot of communities. It keeps it together, keeps you in the know.
I could talk to you guys all afternoon. I am enjoying this so much, but I have one last question before I let you go. And whoever wants to go first. I've now put you in charge of the entire radio industry. If you could wave a wand and have all of us do one thing, what would that be?
I went first last time.
if I could wave a wand,
yep,
have everybody in the radio industry do one thing.
Other than clear your show on every station.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Continue to spread love, light, positivity, awareness, and continue to educate the youth, because tomorrow they will be the educators for the ones to come after them.
Thank you.
Follow that.
Oh, that's a hard one. I do think along those lines that radio needs to continue to serve their listenership. We're so dependent on the internet. We're so dependent on all different forms of media, but those can go down, and we've experienced that in the last couple of months. I know that it's important to keep in mind when we have an emergency and things are out, like we had a windstorm and it took power out everywhere in Cincinnati for like 5 days.
Wow.
Batteries stopped charging and people were reading the gas stations. There was like nothing that would connect you to tell you what on earth was happening except radio.
Right.
And not to forget how important we are when you need it in an emergency situation. Radio is usually the last man standing.
I cannot thank you both for stopping by here. You have made my life so much richer, and how fortunate we are to have people like you being our spokesperson. So on behalf of the radio industry, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
A lot of ground was covered in this episode. Everything from collaborating with your sales teams, partnering with advertisers, AI, and the engagement radio provides you to your listeners. Now, the common theme throughout each topic was authenticity and how critical that it is to everything that you do in radio, and how both personalities feel it is truly what makes them relevant. Tune in to Young Jock on Young Jock and the Streets Morning Takeover in Atlanta, and Amanda on the Warm Morning Show with Amanda Orlando, weekdays in Cincinnati on Warm 98.5.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.